Talk Radio 760 KFMB. San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB, presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future. Now, It's Your Money, Not Theirs on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to It's Your Money and Your Life. We've changed the title of the show. I guess we've got to get make sure Dave sees the memo. But anyway, I'm your co-host, announcer, producer, Joe Vecchio, coming to you live with 50,000 watts of power from KFMB Studios in beautiful Kearny Mesa on this hot Labor Day weekend. And we are just having a blast here. 50,000 watts of power. We're being heard not just in San Diego County, but also Orange County, L.A. County, Riverside County, up to Seattle on a good night. And every Sunday night here is a good night, and out to the desert as well. And now it's time to introduce my illustrious co-host. He's a marathon runner and enthusiast. He's an expert CPA. He's a family office advisor to several high net worth families. All around good guy and family man, Mr. Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Barely made it alive, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Between the driving mishaps and everything else this week and tonight.
I had a guy decide he wanted to, like, knock me off the on-ramp because two left-hand turn lanes getting on the freeway, even though there's a long line of cars doing the same thing.
Gosh.
The guy on the left decided to turn into my lane, even though there was about eight people in front of both of us in both lanes doing what we were supposed to do.
Where was this? Well,
it was getting on a ramp. He almost knocked me over the same hill that almost killed my brother about 6 months ago.
Oh, my God. Which ramp was this?
So it's Chase Avenue in El Cajon getting onto the 8. I was out visiting our good friend Gene Locklear.
Gotcha.
And my mom.
Oh, that's right. We had him on a few weeks ago. You bought some artwork from him, right?
Yeah, the best artist on the planet, www.genelocklear.com, GeneLocklear, GeneLocklear.com.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. So,
but I'm here, barely.
Yeah, that's terrific. Also,
almost died Thursday night with one of our guests, Jerry Gross in La Jolla. Jerry, how you doing?
You have to stop hanging around with these people, Mike.
I thought Jerry was going to get planted by somebody coming off the curb. Fortunately, there was no head-on traffic, so I did a nice swerve.
And that was in downtown La Jolla, right?
That was downtown La Jolla. Yeah, Jerry said if there had been somebody coming towards us, I would have had a tough decision to make. I said, Jerry, if there had been somebody coming towards us, there would have been no decision to make. It would have been you, man, not me.
Anyway, hey, you've been watching into the U.S. Open. That's been pretty exciting. Have you been following much of it?
I have not.
You haven't? You watched Andy Roddick, didn't you? Oh, no, I was talking to Michael Ferrante earlier. He was watching it.
Yeah, I haven't had time.
You know, Andy Roddick's retiring this year.
Yeah.
He's had a pretty good career. What is he, about 30 now? I guess
30. He's 30. He was number one in the world in 03, won Grand Slam.
Yeah, but he's won a title every year for the past 12 years. I think he's tied for second for most U.S. Open wins, period. So
yeah,
that's pretty good.
And he's got the 03 championship.
Yeah, but, you know, I looked at the women players, and I'm trying to read the last name, and I can't pronounce any of them. Have you looked at these? I mean,
yeah, it's the Ovas against the Itches.
Oh my God, there are so many syllables in there. Right. I don't know how Jim Lampley did it.
They're saying someday your name is going to be in lights. A lot of lights.
Anyway, speaking of Jim Lampley, I just wanted to mention this because he's been a guest on the show, and let me quiz you on this because you know a lot about sports. Who would you say, born and raised, is the greatest athlete ever to be born and raised in San Diego? Only two come to mind for me. And what one or two would you say?
Did you say athlete?
Professional athlete that was born and raised in San Diego County. Who would you say?
Well, for me, it's got to be Ted Williams, the greatest hitter in the history of baseball.
Right. And who would be the other?
Well, Maureen Connolly.
No.
I think.
Well, modern.
Okay, the 1950s isn't modern. Thanks, Joe.
Well, more modern. Bill Walton, come on.
Bill Walton, yeah.
Gotta be Big Walton.
Ann Myers Drysdale was born here.
Right, but I'm just saying.
She's like the female version of Michael Jordan in terms of women's basketball.
True. But I'm saying born and raised and live in.
Yeah, Bill Walton.
So, but yeah, Walton's got
to
be.
I saw him play basketball in high school. It was amazing to watch.
Anyway, the only reason I mention that is because both he and Jim Lampley are in this film called The Other Dream Team, and it's going to be premiering in New York and L.A. on September 28th, and I saw the trailer, a couple weekends ago, and it is really a dynamite documentary. It's about the Lithuanian Olympic basketball team. These guys were forced to play for the USSR in 1988, and that Russian team beat the USA. And we were in shock. And, of course, the Berlin Wall comes down. And in 92, they're playing in Barcelona for Lithuania, these guys. Because four of the five stars on the Russian team were Lithuanian. And it's only a country of 3 million. And Russia's had 200 million people. So think about how they're raising these great... Basketball is like, it's in their DNA. So... they've got some great players. Some were drafted in the NBA. Anyway, both Lampley and Walton are in this film. It's called The Other Dream Team, and it's about Lithuania being liberated and playing for themselves. And actually, in 92, that's when we had our real, you know, heavy-duty dream team, Michael Jordan and Johnson and everybody else, Magic Johnson and that whole crew. So they cleaned up on everybody. They got the gold. But Lithuania has to play for the bronze medal against who? The former Russian Unified States, the former nemesis. And they got to play for the bronze in this film. And it is, I'll tell you, the last half hour, you will tear up. And Lampley's great. And Walton's great. Matter of fact, I have seen a promotional copy of it. So I can vouch for the quality of this film. So guess what I'm doing tomorrow, though? Speaking of films, Richard, I'm I think the fourth or fifth time I'm going to go see Will Ferrell's The Campaign.
You are addicted to The Campaign.
Have you seen it, Greg, by the way, yet or no? No,
I have not.
No? Okay. I got to tell you, if you like
Will... In case anybody was wondering, that's our guest, Greg Cook.
Yes, we'll get to him in a bit. Okay. I'll give him a big build-up.
All in due time.
Yeah, we'll give him a big build-up. But in any case, and we're also waiting for our introductory guest. We're going to have a short little brief intro about this.
She's going to be the end guest now.
The end guest. Okay.
For Art San Diego. So let's introduce our guest, Joe. Come on.
Well, we're almost at
you've got to get him on before the break. Come on.
We do. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have on our show tonight the founder and CEO and visionary of one of the most successful and one of the first best microbreweries in San Diego County. And he is not, and the place is called Stone Brewing Company, and the CEO is Greg Cook, and Greg is here. Greg, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I've got a suggestion right off the top. With the opening comments you guys were making about this, you know, potential near death experiences that you're having, Richard. Maybe it's not your money and your life. Maybe it's your money or your life.
Well,
right?
That's the old Jack Benny line.
Yeah. Well, or
he said, where he said, let me think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Or your money or your wife.
Your wife.
And then it was.
How about your money, your life, and your wife? I don't know. That happens too. Anyway, Richard, you're right. I came up with that title in tribute to Jack Benny, and most people under, 45 or 50 may not even know who Jack Benny is. Greg, you know who Jack Benny is?
Of course I know who Jack Benny is. He's quite famous. He was far before my time.
Yeah, Rochester. Well, he was a big star on radio before even TV came around.
But, there you go. I think we just pretty much put it in the pocket
Joe, I've seen reruns.
Yes. But anyway, he had that joke about your money getting stuck up because he had this reputation of being a real cheapskate, and then they did this skit on radio where he gets held up at gunpoint, and the guy says, "Your money or your life," and there's this big pause, and he goes, "Your money or your life," big pause, and goes, "Well, I'm thinking about it."
His delivery was classic, of course.
Much better than mine. But there was, I was talking to actually Paul Menard about that the other day. He said it was the longest sustained applause at the time that anyone could remember. So, in any case. Well, welcome, Greg, and I think we're approaching our first break, aren't we there, Justin? I think we should. Why don't we raise the music up?
That's good. I'm exhausted, so.
Just getting here. Anyway, there's the music. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after this short announcement.
And now, back to It's Your Money and Your Life on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
I like that. It's your money and your life. Because, you know, it's not just all about money here. It's about your life. So we set ourselves apart from these other financial shows, we think. And we hope you're enjoying it. Well, we get a lot of good feedback, don't we, Richard?
Yeah, well, we set ourselves apart, Joe, but that may be a good thing. It may not be.
Oh, it always is a good thing, I think. Anyway.
Let's get to our guest, because he's been sitting here patiently.
Well, we had him on already for the people. And look, he's a minor celebrity. Actually, more than a minor celebrity in San Diego. Everyone knows Greg Cook. You've got that. Your logo is like Mick Jagger, this big open mouth snarl or yell or whatever. And where'd you get that? That's like your trademark, right?
Oh, yeah, I don't do that anymore.
I see a lot of pictures yellow like that.
That's so 2011.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Although if we had an internet TV show, Joe, he could do that on our internet TV show. Well, but we don't.
He's got.
We don't.
Of course, now he's got the Man Mountain Dean look or whatever, the mountain man look. So that's cool. But anyway, Greg, born and raised where? We want to find out how, you know, where you started and how you found your way to San Diego, et cetera. So.
Sure. So I was actually born in SoCal, but at a young age, about four, I moved to small town Ohio. And then my family moved with me. Grew up there. So all of my upbringing was as a small town Midwestern boy.
Huh.
Eventually went to college there for a couple of years, Ohio State University, and decided I wanted to be a rock star.
Okay.
So I moved to Hollywood.
Okay. Well, you went to the guitar school?
To the Guitar Institute of Technology on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, my God.
And in those days, it was 84, 85. It was right above the Wax Museum.
My gosh.
Right in the heart of it. I was actually in Hollywood last night at walking down Hollywood Boulevard, of all things, And let's just say that it's changed rather dramatically, to say the very least.
The lease rates have gone way up in the last few years.
Think so. Yeah. And the night, you know, the hourly rates have actually switched to, I think, nightly
oh
rates, which is perhaps a little bit more appropriate for.
Maybe in 4 years the Republican convention will be there. Who knows?
Yeah. Well.
Hey, let me ask you: did any notables come out of your guitar school that have gone on to bigger and better things? And you know, well, obviously, you have done in the business world.
Not in the guitar world.
I'm saying in
certainly.
The guitar world or music. Any that come to mind?
There have been some, and I'm sorry that I'm just actually not able to quote them to you.
Okay.
I do not
know.
All right,
we'll Google that a little later, I suppose. So anyway, guitar school, Hollywood, and then what?
Well, I wanted to finish up my college career, and I wanted to stay in Southern California. So I went to USC, which had the only undergrad business in L.A., so...
Really?
Well, between that and UCLA, which had actually no undergrad business. And so I chose USC sort of by default.
UCLA did not have a business curriculum?
Not undergrad.
Oh, not as
yeah,
undergrad.
Only postgrad.
Oh, gotcha.
The Anderson School.
Gotcha. Okay. So you finished up at UCLA and then?
USC,
or
Joe.
USC.
Yeah, USC, please.
Okay. Gee.
Although I really don't prescribe to that whole rivalry thing. Whatever.
Right.
So it's about the person.
Right.
Just like politics.
Right.
I mean, I don't care what rhetoric or lies or crap you spew. Just tell. I want to know about the person.
Your
qualifications,
you
know, do I believe in you?
Right.
So I lived in L.A. for 12 years or so. Was active in the music industry, mostly behind the scenes kind of stuff, production management and so on. And it was during that time that I fell in love with beer, that I discovered that the words... amazing and beer could actually exist in the same sentence without irony being involved.
How'd you discover that?
Well, it was at the hands of this wonderful brewery and beer called Anchor Steam.
Oh, yeah.
And I had my first Anchor Steam in 87 in a little hole-in-the-wall bar in downtown Los Angeles called Al's Bar. And it was an epiphanous moment because I held this thing up and I'm like, you mean beer can taste like this?
Compared to the main corporate breweries that are out there.
Just think of your first, you know, growing up on freeze-dried, vacuum-packed coffee crystals and then having your first real cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Or growing up on that, you know, plastic polka dot, you know, processed bread and then wandering into a corner bakery for the first time.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I grow my own vegetables, for example, in my garden.
Right.
I mean, there's no comparison.
Yeah, your backyard tomatoes compared to those, round and red-colored things that come from Florida.
Right.
Is there nothing but chemical bombs?
I took some squash to my mom tonight, and we cooked some squash for dinner. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's not that you can't
there you
be,
go.
So you're up in L.A., you have this wonderful artisan beer, and the light came on. That's something you'd wanted to, get into the industry somehow? Or
well, it wasn't quite that immediate. At that time, there was it was difficult to come across craft beers. They were few and far between. It wasn't the culture that we are celebrating today. It's this amazing cornucopia of choice.
Right.
So, I did chase it down, and I started going to more and more breweries, and I went to beer festivals, and I started going to professional brewing events, and I went down the rabbit hole.
Huh. Interesting. So you must have. So how'd you find your way down to San Diego, or did you come down here looking for a location to put a microbrewery, or?
Well, during all of this about 5 year period, because it was, like I said, it stretched out quite a while. I ran into my eventual business partner, Steve Wagner. He and I started Stone together in 1996, and we started discussing the idea of potentially getting into business together to start a brewery. Both of us loved the idea of being in Southern California. He'd grown up in Palos Verdes, but neither of us really wanted to stay in L.A. anymore. I love L.A., but it was time. Mm-hmm. It was time. And I came down to see a friend of mine here in San Diego, actually in Solana Beach, and I called him Steve up that weekend and said, "Hey, what do you think about North County?" and he said, "Well, you know, I like that idea." Both of his older brothers had gone to school to university here in San Diego, so he'd had some experience, and yeah, that's pretty much what it took. I started looking for a space. Eventually, we found a warehouse space in San Marcos, which is where we originally started up back in 1996.
I remember that space because I had an office just down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a warehouse.
That's right. That's right.
You put your first tanks in there and a whole operation, huh? Is that where you...
Exactly. We started up strictly as a brewery. We many people know us for our restaurant today, but mm-hmm. when we started, it was just a craft brewery. We had a 30-barrel system. That meant we brewed about 60 kegs or 930 gallons in one batch.
How long does it take you to do that?
Well, the average brew cycle is about 2 weeks.
Huh.
From the time you start it to the time you can enjoy it.
So how did you get out to market? Is it because you were unique in North County that attracted attention to you? Or, I mean, how?
Back in the day in 96, you know, it was, San Marcos, of course, is known for the Restaurant Row.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And the first place to put us on tap, we were draft only back in those days, was a restaurant called Gentleman's Choice. Mm-hmm. Sounds more like a...
Yeah.
Club.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was kind of a steak and fish joint. And that was the first place to put us on tap. And it was our 23rd account.
Okay.
So it was coastal places and downtown places. But nobody in restaurant. I really thought that restaurateurs and pub owners in San Marcos would say, "A local brewery. Well, of course, we'd love it.
Right.
We'd love it." And they're like, "You know, what are you going to give me?" "Well, I can't give anything. That's illegal. What are you going to, you know, how, et cetera, et cetera." So it was, let's just say it was an extraordinarily slow burn.
Were you selling wholesale to retail operations too, or mostly just?
We were our own wholesaler. None of the wholesalers in San Diego wanted to have anything to do with us. We had to be self-distributed because that was our only choice. You know, today we have this wonderful thing of about 50 breweries and growing in San Diego County. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And people will go to these warehouse districts in these plain circumstances with a countertop and as a tasting bar. And folks will flock to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool. This is the harbinger of change. Mm-hmm. That things are really changing and changing for the better. But when we opened, that was not the case.
Right.
People didn't want us. Yeah.
So how do you perfect your product? I mean, how long did that take?
Ooh, yes. Well, careful. Taste test.
Yeah.
It's all about your diligence. It's diligence. It is diligence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our brewing team's led by Steve. It's all about that very careful, methodical approach.
Because you've got to be totally consistent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, I'm getting thirsty.
Hey, speaking of consistency, the music always comes on at 7:29.
Yeah, we got to take a little break here. I'm getting thirsty, though, but we'll be right back with It's Your Money and Your Life after these announcements. Stay tuned. It's Your Money and Your Life with Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, producer, and Richard Muccio, our other main co-host, and our guest, Greg Cook, and we have another special guest coming up. But, Richard, you have some sponsors to thank.
Yeah, right? I want to thank UBS, but more about them in the last quarter of the show. Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal, who was our guest last week. Joe, you weren't here.
That's right.
Unexcused absence. Regents Bank with Sean Puckett et al. Our favorite CPAs, Plato Epic, CPAs up in Vista. They, by the way, go to Stone Brewery all the time. Whenever we have a meeting, that's where we go. Carl Schuler and Business Valuations Limited, Jason Kruger and Signature Analytics, and our brand new sponsor, Joel Grushkin and Cost Segregation Initiatives, and they're coming up as a guest later this month. But speaking of sponsors and contact information, how about we give out Greg Cook's contact information?
Well, I'm going to do that right now. Stone Brewing Company's website is stonebrew.com, stonebrew.com. And in talking with...
Actually, we just updated it. Stonebrewing.com.
Stone Brewing? Well, okay.
Yeah, the old one still works.
The old one still works.
Stone
okay.
Brewing. Because people love calling us Stone Brewery, which
well,
is
you know
not
what?
Our name.
I got a good compliment to pay you because I was talking to... remember Charlie and Herring in the old radio show? I was talking to Paul Menard, who was one of those two. I forget which, but he said, you tell Greg Cook that those two words go together real well, stone and brewing. So,
oh, yeah, that's the first time I've heard that.
I was going to say.
I never made the connection, but anyway, but that's me because I'm a teetotaler.
Yeah, Joe is a straight arrow.
Well, I do drink vodka and beer. I don't touch anything else, so, and caffeine. Those are my vices. So
Greg, we were talking about how you became an overnight sensation after 15 years.
Right.
You've got a lot of neat stuff going on. I noticed down at Liberty Station, a new edifice going up in your honor.
Well, we finally, after a year, literally, of delays with the feds, with the historical...
landmarks.
Shall we say challenges?
Yes.
Family show. We actually started the demo this past week, so I am beside myself excited about
When's your
that.
Target grand opening down there?
Target, which means exactly that. Late March.
Of what year?
No, that wasn't funny. 20th.
No beer for you, Richard, although you don't drink anyway, but... Anyway.
I know how construction projects go in San Diego. Trust
me. Well, no, you know, the city of San Diego has been great, as a matter of fact. And we expect everything to actually go pretty much according to plan. Now, we've had a long time to queue up all the dominoes.
Yeah. But you guys are, what, celebrating your 16th year now? I see on your website.
Yep. We just had the Stone 16th anniversary celebration and Invitational Beer Festival. And the numbers are not in, but we anticipate we raised about $250,000 for local charities.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So tell us some of the, because I notice you guys are extremely philanthropic, which I love. I mean, everybody who listens knows I'm the founder of the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation. And I just think it's so important that business leaders become active community leaders. So tell us about some of the things that you're supporting.
What were the big funds they're going to?
Well, we have long supported the Boys and Girls Club of San Marcos and the Palomar Family YMCA and the Surf Rider Foundation, which helps keep our beaches coastal waterways clean. And those are three of literally... we donate to more than 500 charitable events every year.
Wow.
I'm proud to say that we've donated pretty much close to, and I have to say close to, I think it's over, but our records from the first few years, we changed accounting systems.
There's only 365 days in a year, my gosh. This is
how much?
We've donated close to $2 million.
Good.
Wow.
Yeah, plus about $500,000 a year in in-kind donations. That means beer to you and me.
Yeah. Inventory.
Well, hey, it's a good way to
get hats off to you because that's just an incredible thing that you do.
It's a good way to get your product out there, too.
All these people that put on these great events throughout the year, to me, they're doing the work. They're doing the heavy lifting, and we're just as a support. You know, we're part of the support team.
Well, that's a good philosophy. Not every company is that generous and caring, so hats off to you, as Richard said.
So at mile four of the five-mile race, Thanksgiving morning, when I'm hosting 15,000 people in Thanksgiving, can you bring some six-packs? I'm just kidding.
The Marines will like it, right?
Yeah, the Marines will like that.
If it's a charitable 501c3 and you've got your licensing in order, the answer is actually, we can do that.
Okay. We're talking. Maybe I'll run that one.
So are you going to be doing something else near the Escondido location? Did I hear something about a hotel?
Yeah,
we are planning on, in 2013, we'll break ground on our approximately 48 to 50 room hotel. It's going to be a specialty hotel. You would not wake up one morning staying there and wonder where you are.
So it'll be proximate to the Escondido.
Yeah, directly across the street.
Okay, gotcha.
Or as we say in the industry, within stumbling distance.
Within stumbling distance.
I heard Prince Harry likes beer, so get that thing going.
Yeah, I caught a little wind of that. I don't really know what the story is, but let's not go into it here. I think
they got some great photos.
Well, I'll look forward to that.
In his royal birthday suit.
Oh, geez. I can't believe I haven't been Google image searching that already.
TMZ, man, I'll tell you. Their stock just went up probably, but anyway. So, community involvement.
Well, I'm glad. It just took all the heat off of me and my old incident. So, it was actually, thank you very much, Harry.
So the first location up in Escondido, Citricado Avenue, a road, is it?
Citricado Parkway. Mm-hmm.
And then
the Stone Brewing World Bistro and Gardens.
Right, yes. And then South Park, you put in a facility there, a retail outlet?
Yeah, we call it the Stone Company Store South Park. We also have the Stone Company Store Oceanside, which opened 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And not that interesting, perhaps, to local folks here in San Diego, but we'll be opening Stone Company Store Pasadena later this month.
Wow. Mm. And does that carry the beer and a lot of other merchandise and product? Or what?
Exactly. Yeah, and you can enjoy a pint and taste sort of beers, get a growler to take home, and so on.
You guys have a great philanthropic effort where if you give a pint, you get a pint. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Well,
sounds like the blood.
No, it's great. I mean, just, it's great.
You nailed it.
Joe, you are so quick.
Well, explain how that works.
Well, I think it's actually perhaps in the title.
Joe's a little bit slow, Greg. I apologize.
Well, in this case,
he only gets out on Sunday nights. So.
They thought it might be a little bit potentially
conflict of interest?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe whatever. Not so good if we were promising people a pint of beer for giving a pint of... Because, you know, it can make you a little bit lightheaded if you lose a pint of beer or you... lose a pint of beer. Pint. There you go. You know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there was ever a Freudian slip,
okay.
Don't take my pint of beer or I might get lightheaded. So if you give a pint of blood, we are giving them a pint glass.
It's a glass.
And we do it periodically, so it's on
our website. Joe, notice you give the blood before you fill up the pint glass. Because
don't fill up the pint glass unless they are ready.
Hey, before I give a pint, I need the beer, so I'll get mine in front, so that's fine.
I don't think that's the best way for
that's
that
not
to
the best
happen.
Way, Joe, okay. People get the blood, come back every day. Yeah. I want more blood.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we got a line out the door for transfusions.
That's right.
Yeah, no.
That's a great. I mean, I just love the concept. Whoever the branding person was, they're a genius.
Well, in that case, I'll say it was my idea.
There you go. Take credit.
Hey, on your website, Stone Catering and Stone Farms. What's that all about?
Well, Stone Farms is our small organic farm that's about 8.5 miles north of our brewery and restaurant. And, I think that perhaps of all the stats that I'm proud of at Stone over the years, fastest growing brewery in the United States over the last 15 years, or number one rated brewery in the world a few years in a row, is the fact that we're the largest restaurant purchaser of local small farm organic produce in San Diego County.
Great. Wow.
And our own small farm only produces about 20% of our needs. So we buy a great deal and love working with our local small farmers. And, of course, when Stone World Bistro and Gardens Liberty Station opens end of first quarter of next year, that'll add to it as well. But, I like real. Real, authentic, simple, straightforward, well done. I'm not into that whole, engineered, corporatized, homogenized, dumbed down nonsense that the man wants to try and sell us we deserve better. And you know what? We are making huge strides in this country, whether it's cheeses or coffee or bread or wine, wine even, and certainly in the craft beer movement. Mm-hmm. People now know that they not only just want better, but they demand better.
Right.
And the clouds are starting to part, and the angels are singing, and the sun is shining, and it is our time.
I noticed you said you're not corporate, but it looks like you wore your best shorts tonight. So
yeah.
I'm wondering about you, Greg.
I'll tell you, more CEOs should be like this.
That's
guy.
Radio talk right there.
Richard. I'll bet you have very low turnover at your place, right? People, right?
We have an amazing team. We have now 490 people.
Wow.
And we'll be adding another 150 next year.
Wow. So they're a major employer in San Diego, and what a fun place.
Sure, the only place to eat in Escondido is Stone, trust me.
I don't think I'd agree with that. But
no, there's other good places.
If you put us anywhere towards the top of the list, I would be very appreciative.
But as far as...
Seriously,
ambience,
you guys are great. And the service is incredible.
And it's a beautiful place, too.
Incredible service. I think that's one thing that sets Stone apart, is because so many places, wonder.
How many beers do you guys produce?
9 year-round styles, 5 special releases that are specifically timed throughout the year, and then at least a half dozen other special limited releases, collaboration beers. In fact, just coming out now was the Ken Schmidt, local home brewer that won a competition. Mm-hmm. Iron Fist, a local brewery in Vista. And Stone, Mint Chocolate Imperial Stout, a collaboration, three-way collaboration beer, and that one's coming out imminently, so check our website. Oh, I had some
chocolate?
On Friday. Mint Chocolate Imperial Stout. Mm. It is so good.
Wow.
So, quick question. Where's the industry going? It seems like it's just a booming industry.
Yeah, you know, people are realizing en masse that it is no longer the time of the lowest common denominator, mediocrity, fizzy yellow beer nonsense that we were told. Yes. We were lied to say that that was beer. And I have a statement right here, right now. I've said it before. I'll say it. That is not beer.
No, it's not.
That is an insult. That is an insult to our intelligence, an insult to our palates, and we want and we deserve better. Are you with me?
Yes. I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
How are you going to keep them down?
Like I said,
farm?
I grow my own vegetables.
That's right.
Jeez.
That's right.
It's the only way to go.
And you know what? The industrialized, corporatized world of vegetables just ain't where it's at. You don't even get what you pay for. It's cheap, and you still don't get what you pay for.
Well, that comes out in a lot of these films. You see the future of food and Food Incorporated and
right.
The world.
Forks over knives would be a good one.
Yeah. So it's same with beer. Anyway, hey.
Greg, thanks so much.
Yeah, we've got to take a little break. Greg, we're going to come back with another guest, but stay tuned to It's Your Money and Your Life. And we'll be right back after these words.
And now, back to It's Your Money and Your Life on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Wow, that's classy, Justin. This guy can throw things together at a break like nobody's business. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Over to Richard. We've got another guest for the last segment, and let's get right into it.
We want to welcome, actually two special guests, Michael Quaranta from UBS, our major sponsor. We saved the best for last. I shouldn't say that. All of our sponsors are great, but we did save UBS for last.
He's vice president.
He's vice president, but he has a special guest, Anne Berchtold, who is a little bit stressed out because she's getting ready to host about 12,000 people. I know how she feels because I've got 15,000 coming over Thanksgiving morning. So, Anne, thanks very much for hightailing it up here at high speed.
Thank you.
We're talking about Art San Diego. Anne, just tell us, what is Art San Diego and what should we expect starting on Thursday this week in San Diego?
Sure. Art San Diego is a contemporary art fair. We bring together galleries from all over the world, pair them with local galleries, local artists, local art institutions doing curated events within a 40,000 square foot gymnasium. We transform the gymnasium. When you come in, we're calling it New Art City. You'll be able to experience contemporary work, contemporary design, mid-century modern works, and solo artist curated booths.
And where is that going to be, the gymnasium?
It's the Balboa Park Activity Center, better known to many in this town as the Ping Pong Capital of San Diego.
That's where I used to hone my skills, where I was able to turn Bobby a $500 bet into $1,000 with Bobby Riggs in 1974, early 74. That's where I practiced.
Wow. I had no idea. It's a nice looking building. Did they do something to the outside here?
It's a beautiful building designed by Rob Quigley, who many know designed the new Children's Museum, the upcoming new library downtown, the Solana Beach train station. From the outside, it's a beautiful building, but it's really inside where, to me, it's just a fantastic space for a contemporary art fair. It's got 30-foot arch ceilings, stone walls, wood floors, and he's integrated local artists all throughout the venue. So there's little intricate tiles or stones or things that have been done by some of the artists, Joyce Cutler Shaw, Raul Guerrero, to name a few.
September 6th through 9th. And is that near the Hall of Champions?
It's across the parking lot.
Ah, okay. It's where the Balboa Park Club. Wasn't there? Did they change the name of that? Or that used to be something? Was there something else before?
I don't know if it was something else. It's between the Veterans Museum Building and the Veterans Hospital, kind of sandwiched in between those. You can't miss it when you're driving down Park.
Okay.
I think you're going on President's Way, if memory serves.
Okay. On the website, there's a great map.
Yeah. Let's send everyone to the website, which is artsandiego2012.com.
artsandiego2012.com. So Michael Quaranta with UBS, you guys are a major sponsor of this. Tell us why this is important to you.
Well, we've been deeply involved with the tradition and history of the arts for many years. As a company, we believe that art is something that shouldn't just be stored in a warehouse, but UBS has a very large art collection that often decorates our offices worldwide. And, since UBS is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year, I'll just comment on the modern part of the history is that we first became involved with the arts back with Art Basel event in Switzerland back in 1994. That word of mouth and the success of that event grew to where it crossed the pond over to Miami Beach and became Art Basel Miami Beach. To Ann's credit and Julie Schrager's credit, and our presenting sponsor role, Art San Diego is meeting the needs of an expanding appetite here in San Diego for enrichment in the Western United States to, you know, build upon the success of that event 18 years ago in Switzerland and 11 years ago in Miami Beach.
And for our listeners, there was a great article on the front page of the San Diego Union Arts and Culture section, including Ann's picture. It's nice to have somebody in this room who's actually good-looking compared to all of us. And so you can't miss the article right on front of page one of the Arts and Culture section, and then back on page eight, explaining both the history of Art San Diego and why it's so important to what's going on here locally. And by the way, I think it's a great move moving over to Balboa Park, because I attended 2 years ago, and even though the Bayfront Hilton is great, their plaid carpeting sort of gets to me.
I couldn't agree more.
So I noticed, Anne, the focus is much more on local artists than maybe it has ever been in the past. Is that right?
Yes, it is. You know, as mentioned in the article today, I feel it's very important, and this has always been my mission, to showcase the strength of the San Diego art community from the grassroots level up to the institution level. So this year at the fair, there'll be a cross-section, some very cutting-edge grassroots galleries such as Double Break, Point Loma Nazarene's going to have a 10-year retrospective of grad students' art sculptures, right alongside Museum of Contemporary Art doing a product porch exhibition, intermingled with some solo artists who are really museum quality artists but really don't have this type of opportunity to showcase their work in a museum setting. So there's a great spot for them in this fair. And then of course some of our top galleries, Quint Contemporary, Scott White, Joseph R.B. Stevenson, Tassande, will all be there. So I feel that this is just a really great showcase of the strength of the San Diego art scene.
And I noticed there'll be a Chinese contingent of art as well as, it's not just, well, what people think of art as paintings. There's also furniture, correct?
Yes, there's a contemporary furniture design show. We introduced this last year with great success. I think one of the spotlights was the San Diego State University Contemporary Furniture Design. So we're building on that this year. And yes, we have a big focus on China this year. Every year we've done a panorama focus, and this year it's China. The Cultural Media Group of China is bringing 50 delegates over, artists, collectors, museum directors, to showcase their work with a strong emphasis on porcelain, but also to forge a long, hopefully long-standing relationship. We're going to do a talk. We're going to have talks about how we can kind of keep building on this either each year.
Yeah, we talk a lot about collaboration on the show, and I think what you're doing collaboratively is just wonderful, much like what our previous guest Greg Cook was talking about with collaborating with other people in the brewery business.
Yeah, well, let's wrap.
And I hear music again.
Yeah, you do.
Goodness
thank
sake.
You so much, Anne.
Thank you.
Art San Diego, Thursday through Sunday
right,
this weekend.
Art San Diego 2012, September 6th through 9, just east of Park Boulevard. But anyway, thank you, Anne. Thank you, Mike Quaranta. Thank you, Justin Hart, our technical director. And thank you to Greg Blanke and Dave Sniff. You have a great week. We'll see you next week on It's Your Money and Your Life. Good night.